Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. We are live.
January 31st of 06.
Oh, the 31st.
Last day of January.
Running out of January quick. And we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. This is Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert on the switchboard over there, ready to take your calls. I was a high school science teacher 15 years, and now for 17 years I've been traveling around doing seminars on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. And we take the position that the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can get a hold of us, apparently, three ways. Is the other one working now, the email? It was Jonathan sent me one. You don't know yet.
I don't know how. I haven't been talked to about it at all.
I think drdino.com/radio_questions/. I believe that'll work. Anyway, you can get questions. I know you can get them, still get them to us with the AOL instant message. That'll work. That's Dr. Dino Live. Or you can call us. That phone's worked for, man, a long time. Have you ever heard of Alexander Graham Belsky? Alexander Graham Belsky. He was the first telephone pole. Never mind, Albert. We'll explain it to you later. Okay. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Your folks are gone?
Yeah, they're gone.
How'd they like Pensacola?
I guess they liked it fine. I mean,
they came. You took them out to eat at a fancy restaurant, or no?
It wasn't that fancy. We went to Benares Brothers.
That's good food.
It was, but they're hard to please.
Oh, okay. And so you bought dinner for them, or?
Well, they bought dinner last night. I bought lunch today.
Okay. Well, good, good. You're not a total cheapskate, son, like some. No. Okay. All right. See, my dad had a much thicker wallet than me growing up, so I like taking. I double dated a lot with my dad and mom when I was dating. I double dated with my parents often, a lot. Several reasons. Number one, I wanted to make sure they knew where I was, you know, keep out of trouble. Number two, you just don't get into much trouble when you're with your parents, okay?
Usually.
Dad had a thicker wallet and a nicer car, okay?
Or it's acceptable to get into the trouble you get in with your parents.
Right, right. And I wanted them to meet these girls and give me their opinion. Because I decided as a youngster, I was 16 when I got saved, I said, Lord, I don't know who the right one is to marry. I mean, there's half a, six or 3 billion of them out there. I want you to find the right one. And I want to give my parents veto power. And my youth director and my pastor. There were four people in my life that I said, they have veto power. They can say, nope, that's not the one. Okay. No matter how much I think that's the right one, they said no. Okay. And so I wanted them to be pleased. Because you do kind of marry the whole family when you end up with one, you know. It's surprising. You know, you think you're just getting the one, you get them all. They all come into your life. Okay. So just be ready for that. All right. You can join us on the program. 877-479-DINO. I'm still coughing here. Sorry about that. Old age. If you would like to get our brainwashed book, if you've never received one of those free, you can call the toll-free office number, 877-479-DINO, and say, I would like a copy of the brainwashed book. Well, the whole title is, Have You Been Brainwashed by Your Science Textbook? But just mention brainwashed book. It's a little 50-page booklet that I wrote on some of the lies in the textbooks. We update that book frequently. Every couple of years when we reprint, we add new stuff. And you know, there are probably at least 50 basic lies in the textbooks that are used just specifically to help the kids believe the evolution theory. So also, if you'd like to advertise on our program, you can call Richard at truthradio.com and say, hey, I want to advertise. Doesn't matter what you're selling. I'm sure there's some kind of limits. And it'll help you get your business advertised or your product sold or whatever it is. And your advertising dollar will help cut down our cost to operate every month. So it doesn't go to us. It just helps save us money. Feel free to contact Richard about that. Be sure to specify, though, you want it for Dr. Dino Live, because we have the largest listening audience of Truth Radio. Do you believe that?
It's awesome.
That's what he told us anyway. Yeah, a lot of people call in and say, oh, I like that show. And some people call in and say, I hate that show.
But they're still listening.
They're still listening. But I can't see why. I've met a lot of people, Albert, in my 53 years, and I am the nicest guy I've ever met. Would you agree with that?
That you're the nicest guy you've ever met?
Yeah, you'd agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's easy to agree with. Okay. Okay, you can instant message us. Several did yesterday. I'm going to try to get these from yesterday, and then we'll jump right on them today. Fast Car for Life wrote in yesterday, hasn't there been a bunch of UFO sightings as well? Do you know what's up with all of those? Boy, there was a neat article on deal on UFOs last night on TV, on the Discovery Channel, History Channel, something like that. Very interesting about Roswell. New Mexico. One of the guys who was there examined the bodies of the aliens or whatever. Fascinating. I didn't get to watch it all, but I don't know. You have an opinion on UFOs like you do the Rapture?
Not really. I've heard some stuff, but I mean, I don't have, I haven't gathered enough evidence to really have an opinion either way.
Well, I can tell you exactly what they are. UFOs are unidentified flying objects. That's precise. Okay?
That's very precise.
Very precise. Okay. New Dad wrote in yesterday, LOL, laugh out loud. That's all it says. Okay. Well, all right. Ha, ha, ha. Here we go. God's Creation wrote in, I apologize for possibly making Albert super famous by giving him the nickname of Awesome Albert. Please forgive me if you are offended. You offended, Albert?
No, I'll get over it.
It's probably true, actually. The more people get to know you, the more they realize, man, this guy's awesome, right?
Sure.
Okay, good. You're learning a lot working here, I understand.
Yeah.
I know, man. You and Robert both came on and said we're going to train you both to be super handymen. Now, you feel like you're getting close to that yet?
Not close, but I'm closer than I was when I first got here.
There's a lot to learn.
There is. An awful lot.
And by the time you know it all, you're 94 years old and nobody wants you to do it for them. But you can at least supervise.
Yeah.
That's what I do these days. Hey.
I can't even get a screw out of a wall.
Neither could I, man. We tried for an hour.
That was crazy.
That happens. It's worse with engines. You work on car engines, man. I've done a lot of automotive work. Boy. But you know, you got to always remember, we sometimes focus on our solution instead of focus on the problem. I came to my dad one time and I said, Dad, I need 3 universal joints. We've only got 1. He said, what? Universal joint, as you turn the wrench, you know, it allows you to go around a curve. I said, I need 3 U-joints. He said, no, you don't. I said, yeah, I do, Dad. There's a bolt up underneath the manifold of my Nissan, or Datsun that I had back then, and I can't get the manifold bolt out without, I got to have 3 universal joints. He said, no, son, you don't need 3 universal joints. I said, Dad, yes, I do. He said, no, son, you need to get the bolt out. I said, okay, you're right. I need to get the bolt out. He said, what's the problem? I said, well, I can get a wrench on there, but I can only turn it, you know, a quarter inch. And I can't turn it any farther, and it's not enough to get the bolt out. He said, oh, well, then cut the wrench. You mean like cut the wrench in half? He said, yeah. He said, how much does a wrench cost? I said, you know, $3. He said, how long have you worked on this? I said, hour and a half. He said, so your time's worth $2 an hour? Cut the wrench. Okay, Dad, cut the wrench in half. He's still hanging up in the shop over there from 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Cut the wrench in half. So you don't need to get, you know, a screwdriver. You need to get the screw out, okay? Whether that requires dynamite or torch or, you know, grinding tool, or get the screw out. And we got it out, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
I told you there's probably 10 ways to get that thing out of there.
And each one gets harder.
Yes, sir. But it worked. All right. So you can get a hold of our program here, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant message us, Dr. Dino Live. Well, my dad taught us everything. Albert, he was incredible. My dad's philosophy was, I don't care what you boys do when you get out of my house, but when you do get out of my house, you're going to know how to do just about everything. And he taught us. It was phenomenal. Super dad. Been in heaven now for 7 years. Hey, Dad, pay attention up there. We're talking, okay? There we go. Mondi 3 wrote in yesterday. No need to air this. Okay, appreciate the program. I've seen your DVDs. I've collected about 30 videos now on the creation topic, and we'll make a chart. I like the idea of the visual. I put together a PowerPoint presentation, and we'll use that to highlight my key points. I will definitely point them to your website, as many others that I have in the past when talking to people. I'd like to get hold of the book. Let's see. From yesterday, unrelated to the program. Okay, here we go. A guy from my Purity Platoon was telling me about a guy that he met was like called a priest over in the other countries where a Christian church is underground, and he was telling me about how this guy did basically a resurrection. Is that possible? I would say no. Nobody has raised anybody from the dead since the time of the apostles. Unless it be, you know, in the hospital or somebody, you know, you give them a shock in their heart and get them started again, but then you have to define, what do you mean by dead, okay? And is that a miracle resurrection from the dead, or is that, is there a physical reason for that? I mean, after you wait, you know, 4 days, like for Lazarus, you can shock their heart all you want. You ain't going to bring them back, okay? They're gone. after about 30, 40 minutes, usually they're, even if you could bring them back, their brain's gone.
Yeah. Isn't it like after 10 minutes you can go brain dead?
Well, there's brain damage within probably the first couple of minutes. It has to do with oxygen supply. That would vary greatly from person to person, depending on if they're athletic and oxygenated blood and all that. They might go longer, but probably a range in there, somewhere from 2 to 10 minutes, you can cause brain damage. And then, of course, it depends on the temperature of the water and the altitude above sea level, and who cares, okay? Doesn't matter. Here we go. Ashton Mackey says, I'm doing a research paper for my English class on dinosaurs and how they still exist. I would agree, Ashley. My youth group watches the seminars on dinosaurs all the time, and I was wondering if you could email me some information on the sightings and all that jazz and how they prove that they still exist. Ashton, I don't have email. I'm sorry. I got up to 1,000 a week and surrendered. I said, I can't do this. I already make probably close to 40 phone calls a day, plus answer about 3-inch stack, maybe 5-inch stack of mail every week.
And every phone call that you get.
And I get a lot. I mean, but I give out a lot, too. So I gave up on email. I have 5, 6, 7, 8. How many secretaries here? 4, 5, 2, about 11. They do all that stuff for me. I don't have time. We'll be back, folks, in about 2 minutes and get your questions. We're done with yesterday's, and today's will be coming today. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live.
January 31st of 06.
All right. And how do they get a hold of us here, Albert?
They can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live at AOL. They can call us at toll-free 877-479-DINO, extension 136. It's toll-free in the United States only, or 850-479-DINO, extension 136.
Or they can email, I think, check the website, drdino.com, and see if there's a button. Jonathan was putting it up, or you can email Jonathan and say, hey, how do I get on the program via email? I believe that is done, because I've got a couple here. See the emails. Okay. Anyway, I don't know how to do it yet, but it's coming. If it's not there, it's coming soon. Okay. So questions on the subject. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is, without question, the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can get a hold of us here with your questions. Okay. Ashton Mackey writes in, doing a research paper about dinosaurs. Oh, you email the sightings. Okay, that's from yesterday, Ashlyn. I don't do email. I can't do that, but you can download my video series off of quite a few different websites. A lot of people post my videos up there, and you can watch them right there. All of these sightings are clearly referenced at the bottom of the screen, usually with a phone number, a contact information, email, mailing address, whatever. All the details I have are right there. That is my research paper, the seminar, 7,000 slides plus about a bazillion footnotes in there. Okay, hope that helps. Zwingla Zilinguena here, however you pronounce that, writes in, Dr. Hovind, what kind of animal do you think the Bible is referring to when it mentions the unicorn? Do you think it was a dinosaur? I do not know for sure. I think probably, though, it's not a horse with a horn. I mean, it may have been, but it seems more likely that because of the description of the animal, it says he cannot be tamed, is the basic teaching here about this critter. It's strong. It's able to skip. Those are kind of the clues that we have. It's mentioned 7 times, if I recall, in the Bible. And I would say possibly a dinosaur like a Monoclonius, a Styracosaurus, or some of those single horn dinosaurs. There is one verse that mentions, you know, the phrase, the horn of a unicorn. So that would make it, you know, singular horn. I can look that up for you in a second here if I can multitask. But in Creation Seminar Part 7, it is mentioned the unicorn as well as 1,000 other questions, frequently asked questions that come up. Okay, here we go. What is the unicorn? Get my mouse to work. Seminar Part 7. Okay, Numbers 23:22 is the first reference. Numbers chapter 23, verse 22. God brought them out of Egypt, he hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Mentions his strength. Numbers 24 mentions the strength of a unicorn. That's Numbers 24:8. Job 39 says, verse 9, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? And the answers to all of the questions God asks here in chapter 38, 39, 40, and 41 are called rhetorical questions. The answer is obvious. Like, hey, you want me to blow your head off? The answer is obvious. No, okay? The answer to all of these is pretty obvious. No, no, no. So God says, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? And a crib is the place where they keep the corn. In other words, will he stand next to your, you know, barn and be like a horse, will stand there and wait for you, you know, hours. Just tie him up, you know, while you go do your thing and come back out. You got nothing else to do. Standing there waiting, right? As long as you give him something to eat. Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow? So again, the answer is an obvious no. Will he harrow the valleys after thee? You know, you don't hitch him up to your plow and use it. He's untamable. You can't. He's not a work animal. And this would certainly apply to just about all reptiles. You're from Central Florida, Albert. Do they ever hook the alligators up to, you know, plows and use them or make them do tricks, roll over, play dead?
Not that I'm. Sometimes they wrestle with them.
I don't have my headphones on. Okay. Yeah, they wrestle with them, but. Yeah, I mean, they just don't do that with alligators. They're not too bright. Their brain's about the size of a walnut, you know, or smaller.
Yeah, they're pretty stupid.
Pretty stupid. Okay, Job 39:11 says, "Wilt thou trust him because his strength is great?" He is strong, but you don't trust him because of it. "Wilt thou leave thy labor to him?" Say, "Hey, unicorn, finish hauling in these crops, would you?" "Wilt thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it into the barn?" And the answer is, again, an obvious no. No, Psalm 29 says, "He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn." So what is it? Well, Psalm 92, verse 10 says, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn." So there's the only mention that I'm aware of a single horn on this animal. I suspect one of the single horn dinosaurs, Derekosaurus, Monoclonius, there's quite a few single horn dinosaurs. So I hope that helps. That's really all the clues I can see from the Bible. Horse with a horn, I doubt it, okay? Couldn't prove it, though. Here we go. IBC student 2005 says, "Dr. Oven, when do you believe Satan was cast out of heaven?" We know that he had access at least until the time of Job. Well, I would say Satan was probably cast out of heaven 100 years after the flood, but he still has access today. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Let me find that verse here for you. Accuser of the brethren is... First Peter... No. I just typed in of the brethren. Paul... Give me five... six references. I don't know where the reference is now. But Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Where is that? Apparently, he still has access to heaven. Now, he's never been to hell. He's going one of these days. But as of now, he's never been there. The Bible created hell for the devil and his angels. There are just a few clues in the Bible that a lot of people get some real wild speculation on, which may be correct. Let's see, and his angels. See if I can find that verse. Let's see, Matthew 25. "Depart ye from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's why the Lord prepared hell. It was for the devil and his angels, whatever that means. And then Revelation 12, "There was war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." What does that mean? Well, apparently they both have some working on their side. So, and then Revelation 12:9 is the last mention of the great dragon was cast out, and his angels were cast out with him. And there have been folks who say that a third of the angels followed Satan. That certainly may be true, but I don't see how you can prove that from Scripture. We know he drew a third of the stars with his tail. Does that mean a third of the angels? I don't know. I don't see how they get that. Maybe it is. You have an opinion? You don't care?
I've heard that before, but no.
how would you know such a thing? Here we go. Second question from IBC student 2005. So anyway, answer to the first one. I believe Satan was cast out of heaven 100 years after the creation. I believe that's when he sinned. He was then cast down to the earth, but he still has access back and forth to heaven. In Job 30, in Job chapter 1, he was going up and down, you know, talking to the Lord. Apparently, that's his full-time job, is walking up saying, "Hey, Lord, did you see what your son down there did?" The Lord says, "Yep, I saw it. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ paid for that." You know, okay, and he goes back and tries again, you know. He's been up there a lot talking about me. Praise God, I got an advocate with the Father who says, "Father, I paid for that." Here we go. If this is true, put another nail in the gap theory, since Satan would have to fall before creation week. Could you please comment on this, please? Yes, I think the gap theory is wrong for multiple reasons, including the one you gave here, that, you know, Satan had to fall 100 years after the creation. Now, the answer I gave, but he could not have fallen before. On day 6, God said everything was very good. Very good on day 6. Lucifer hadn't fallen yet. Ezekiel 28 tells us Lucifer was in Eden until he sinned. And Eden wasn't made till day 6, so he sinned sometime after that, okay? Let's see. Heaves 23 is back, writes, "Hello, I have a question. Have you, Kent Hovind, ever prayed or spoken in tongues?" All the time. English. I learned a few prayers in Russian and French. But that's about it. And Spanish. A couple in Spanish. Yeah, but that's it. Have you?
Just English.
Just English, okay. Well, you're young yet, you know.
Yeah.
Takes a while to learn some of that. I don't know them all either, but trust me. So, I have looked at the issue of tongues as carefully as I know how. And, again, keep in mind my general philosophy, guiding principle of life. I don't care what anybody thinks. All I care is what does God think, okay? And I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. We'll be back, folks, right after the break. All right, welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert, live.
January 31st of 06.
All right, you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Don't leave a message at that extension. Well, you've checked them, what, a month ago, or...
Checked them last week.
How many are on there now?
I can't tell.
Can't tell. You got to hang up the phone and then... Yeah. Okay, but don't hang it up. Okay. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. DrDinoLIV. And we've got a call. Who's on the line there? I forgot the name.
Hey, my name's Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
Yeah. I live here in Newport, North Carolina. And we have a... watched your CDs and tapes, and we absolutely love them. And I don't really have a question. I just more or less wanted to let you know that I am so glad that there is somebody out there that is having these debates with these people that believe in this so-called evolution garbage, and they can't even back it up when you have the Bible. And... you know, our son does go to public school, and I told the teacher at the beginning of the year that when it came around to talk about science, that I did not want him to be taught evolution.
That's your right.
And, yes, and but she told me, she says, "Well, ma'am," she said, "it's in the book," she says, "therefore we have to teach it." I said, "Wrong." I said, "It's in the book, yes." I said, "But you do not have to teach it." She says, "Well, yes, ma'am, we do." I says, "Well, then fine." I says, "If you can teach my son evolution, then my son can talk to you about Jesus." She says, "Well, that's not allowed in school." I says, "Well, why not?" I said, "Evolution is allowed in school." She says, "Well, evolution isn't a religion." I said, "Yes, it is." She says, "No, it isn't." I said, "Yes, it is." I says, "You believe all this stuff happened from a rock." I says, "You believe in the beginning dirt." I says, "You know, we believe in the beginning God, and that none of us came from, you know, apes and monkeys and rocks." I said, we are creationists." I said, "We believe in God." I said, "So it is a religion." I said, "The only difference in between yours and ours is that yours makes absolutely no sense, and you can't back it up, and ours makes all the sense in the world and is backed up totally by the Bible."
And by science.
Right. And, you know, she just, she didn't like what I had to say to her. And I said, well, I said, you know, I said, you know, she just acted like it was more or less going in one ear and out the other, didn't really want to talk to me. And I told her, I said, well, I said, I've already told you what I did not want. I said, now, if I find out that you're teaching our son evolution behind our back, I said, then I will be down to the school.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because that's not going to happen.
Well, now here's what you have to do. There's a book we have on our website, drdino.com,
yes, sir,
called Students' Legal Rights on a Public School Campus.
Okay.
It's about $10.
Okay.
It goes through the students' rights. They have the right to be exempt.
Exactly.
On page 53 of the book, it says, it tells how to do it.
Okay.
But basically, any correspondence you have or any interactions with the school on this topic must be in writing.
Okay.
If you have a conference with the teacher and it's all spoken, that's perfectly fine. But as soon as you get home, reduce it to writing, summarize it, write it down, and say, dear teacher, you know, as per our conversation earlier today, here is my understanding, you know, blah, blah, blah. I told you what I want. And then you send them a copy of the letter and keep it, start a folder and keep a file of all, everything must be in writing. It's so important.
Exactly, because if you don't put it in writing, then they can turn around and say, I didn't say that. You know, or, you know, you're just making up a bunch of stuff. You're just trying to start trouble. You know, we never said anything like that. But if it's down on paper, then you have that to back up what you're saying is true.
Correct.
So, but he brought home, I think it was Friday, he checks out AR books at the library, and he brought home a couple. And one was about the stars, and it was fine. I looked through it. The other one, however, was about the sun. And it was talking about billions of years and clouds and dust and all this mess. And I sat there and I told him, I said, this book is no good. When you go back to school on Monday, you take it back, you ask the librarian very kindly and very nicely, you know, can you please help me find a book that is not evolution? And he did that. And when he did that, the librarian sat there and looked at him, and she kind of had a lower tone voice to her, and she said, I don't blame you. She says, I believe in God, too. She says, and I don't believe in evolution. She said, I believe that God created everything, too. And he told me that, and I thought, I said, thank God somebody out there does not believe in this garbage.
Amen. What grade's he in?
You know, he's in fifth grade.
Wow.
He absolutely, he watches your CDs, your tapes, and everything. He absolutely loves them.
And Mr. Hovind?
Yes, hello.
Is he on the phone?
Oh, yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah,
Mr. Hovind.
Yes, Kent Hovind here.
I can't believe I'm talking to the real Kent Hovind. And one day in my class, actually it was today, Mom, you might want to listen to this too. One kid in my class believes in evolution, and I told him that it's in the Bible that God created the universe, and I don't believe in the beginning rock or dust or dirt or monkeys. I believe in the beginning God, and if you don't believe me, it's in the Bible. Look it up.
Right.
Get yourself one and look it up. Genesis 1:1.
Good. Well, plus I would also say it's also the scientific evidence shows there must have been a designer, period. Complicated things like this don't happen by themselves. Awesome. Well, you guys need to come down and visit our Dinosaur Adventure Land.
Okay.
Tell your mom to bring you all down, bring your wife and kids, and you come visit Dinosaur Adventure Land.
All right.
All right.
Well, here's Mom, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, what you have to do, if you put in writing your request and say, I want my student, you know, when evolution is taught, I want them given
right.
alternative material.
Right.
They have to, here's a magic sentence you want to put in there.
Okay.
You want to say, it's against my religious convictions.
Okay.
To have my student taught evolution. And then if they give you any hard time over that at all, you respond in writing and say, you know, if they say, we can't do that, you know, that's tough, they got to sit in class anyway, you can say, do I understand you to say that you discriminate against people because of their religious convictions? That will fire
yeah.
them up. Okay?
Oh, yes. I don't think that's
it's worked every time
that.
So far.
Oh, yes. And I will indeed try it out because I'm totally against it.
Good. Well, before you send them letters, if you want to bounce them off me, call my secretary. You can fax them in, and I'll read it and put your phone number on there, and I'll call
okay.
back and comment of things I would do to, you know,
okay.
strengthen it or weaken it or whatever.
All right.
Okay, keep me posted.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And you have a good day, and God bless.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Instant messages here. Dr. Dino live. Our one lonely phone line is open, 877-479-3466. And Dr. Dino live, let's see, we have a whole bunch here. Richmond's are good. Oh, now wait a minute. Richmond's are good. The Bible says there is none good. No, not one. There is none that goeth out of the way. They've all turned out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. Romans 3. Here we go. Richmond's are good writes in. Hello, I have a question today. My name is Richmond Saragood, and I'm thinking about becoming a public school teacher.